Good evening. This is Wednesday evening. It's 7 o'clock on the west coast of California in the United States. And it's Pacific Standard Time. this is the continuation of the study of the hidden work by E.J. Gold. Now, we're still on chapter 9. This is the third week on chapter 9. We've done, how many books have we done? No. Don't encourage.
Hey, is that a new teacher come to teach us?
Well, we learn from everything, Silverdale. We learn from everything, so little at a time. Now, there's a reason why we've been on chapter 9 for 3 weeks. We've done the practical work on self. We've done HBM. We've done Life in the Labyrinth. We've done Joy of Sacrifice. What else have we done? Is that it? I think we've done practical work on self a couple of times. But the point is, human biological machine. And the point is that we've never spent 3 weeks on a chapter, and there's a reason why. There's a reason why we're spending so much time on this chapter. It's because it's the first practicum, in a sense, that talks about life in Bardo's. It's how to operate in that field. When you get into that space, there's a certain, we can call it a certain etiquette, but there's things that you can do. I've had a couple of conversations with some very interesting people in the last few days, and one of the things we talked about was that there's a sense that we're stepping into this new world more actively. And there's a sense that when you look at Chapter 9 here, and you look at it in a certain way, that it provides definitive methodology for swinging the balance. The balance is generally almost always in favor of the human biological machine and what's so-called the historical personality. That's how we're born. That's how we come into this. But nevertheless, here we are, right? Here we are, and there's a new possibility. And the possibility is for that balance to start swinging toward living from the higher more than from the mechanicality that we're used to. It's okay if that's where we're at. It's just okay. But there's a possibility of making a conscious choice to do something different. But that's the problem with it. It does take a conscious choice. It's not, by its nature, automatic.
Right?
We're looking for something more conscious, and doesn't that kind of imply that it takes more attention? But it's not just the outer attention, as we talked about last week. It's not the outer that controls suddenly, but it's the inner. We're interacting with the outer. But what if for a while we started interacting and our guide wasn't, how do I please everybody around me? How do I please the situation? But yet rather, it's what's going on in me, and your observation starts there. Rather than from the defensive mode that basically we've grown to, that's how we've lived our lives, right? Just kind of in this defensive, how am I going to survive? I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to displease anybody. Gosh, I hope I'm okay.
That's the ordinary life.
The very ordinary life, and some people get very good at it. There was an interesting TED talk I watched of a model, you know, someone who makes a living as a model, making on clothes,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a beautiful, and she says, I just happened to win the genetic lottery.
Right.
That just, and that began to define her entire life. So she had some self-observation that that was just part and parcel. And in her case, she was struggling, at least beginning to struggle with it a little bit. So that's what's offered here in chapter 9. So we're going to finish a few of the last paragraphs, last two couple of pages of chapter 9, and then we're going to have an experiment. Is Pianjo on tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Pianjo, you might want to consider calling in or not. That's either way is okay. Totally okay, actually. But we're going to do that probably in about 20 minutes. But let's reorient ourselves, because it's important to orient all the time to what the space is that we're in. We want to leave the road dust behind. Everybody is addicted to being busy. There's no question about it. Everybody is super busy, too busy to do anything. And so they're just hurrying up to come and hurry, blah, 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 blah. That will leave at the door. So for these few minutes, enter the door, but enter the door as a new person. Enter it. Focus inside for a moment. Don't focus, gosh, am I doing okay? Focus internally. Start there. There's no one, we can't even see you. So what you're doing in your private space right now is that's your workspace. But what we're doing together, and we've been able to do it with some effectiveness as a group, is we build a space together, and we build that group space, and we can then avail ourselves of that. So welcome to this space. And come into it. Bring yourself into it in a particular manner. Okay? Ivan, so to reorient ourselves, could you just read the opening paragraph for the third time of chapter 9?
The summary. Activating the astral body. If the organic biological machine and its moving centrum manifestations can be made passive, higher substances can be driven upward by the resulting negative force, and the astral body can be automatically activated.
So you can take that however you want to take it, and you can take it in any way in terms of this is just the mechanics of how it works. And the mechanics of how it works is if you pacify the machine is always active in its normal sleeping state. It's always active. The mentation is going. The body is going. The emotions are going all automatically. Right now as I'm speaking, each of us is having an emotional response to it that is a reaction to what I'm saying. You understand? Not a response, but a reaction. And that is a mechanical reaction to it. There's no judgment to it. It's just a fact. That's what we want to start capturing together. So I'm just going to quickly go over the last couple, three pages here, okay, of the chapter. And then we're going to try something. Let's start on page 90. And I'm on the third full paragraph, starting with, in the efforts to awaken. You there?
Yes.
Okay. In the effort to awaken the machine and put to use the transformational process and the work, we must strive to be passive in the exterior and active in the interior. You read that and you say, oh, yeah, I understand. Well, you don't. This is like getting a doctorate. To understand that takes a great deal of study, because most of the time we're active in the exterior, we're engaged in the exterior. And this is putting, like throwing a gauntlet down and saying, hey, maybe there's a different way of living your life. And you can start with, how am I in this? How am I in this? And when you start that, it starts to reverse that modality that is so common. Eventually, you master this idea. Our outer world becomes passive, pushing the denying force upward and providing the necessary force to send finer substances upward in much the same way as a carrier wave carries a coherent radio signal. Once you activate it, in a sense, it is automatic, but it must be activated. If we can produce some form of connecting force between the biological and astral bodies, they can in turn provide a single denying force for the formation of the causal body. So suddenly, if we can get these two to work together, the method for connection of these lower bodies that form the lower centrums, which provide their centrums of gravity in much the same way as a grain of salt forms a centrum for a pearl, it's an irritation, is preserved in the initiation of the following way. Make the inner as the outer and the outer as the inner. Make the two one. What I'd like, just take that little phrase there on the top of page 91. Are you with me there on that? What I'd like is write a little paragraph. You could send it to me or you can post it on wingsofchaos.com under hidden work. What does that mean to you? All right. We read it and we have a certain sensation. Make the inner as the outer and the outer as the inner. Then make the two one. Just a little paragraph, but do write something. And if you'd rather send it to me, Jana will put my email address on the log. You can do that, or you can post it on the site for others to avail themselves as well of that viewpoint. Because the results of organic foods do not ordinarily pass beyond the first octave, one also feeds the moon as one feeds the biological machine. To reverse this reciprocal process of feeding, one must feed the inner world with the direct results of results coming to the machine from the outer world. Does this make any sense? Does that work for you, Ivan or Dan?
I find this passage difficult.
Okay, so go ahead, let's unwrap it.
This is the key to the chapter to me. This
good.
What he says here, it's the teaching that's preserved in initiatism. This is like, so here you have an esoteric touchstone. This is like the core of the teaching here. But to reverse this reciprocal process of feeding, one must feed the inner world with the direct results of results coming to the machine from the outer world.
Is there any comments on that we should be reading?
Well, I had a comment from the previous paragraph.
Go ahead.
Saying that the inner should be the active.
Yes.
I thought that we were striving to make the inner more passive.
No. By inner, we mean here the essential self and the attention and presence that is the essential self. We want to make that active. Normally, what's active is the automatic reactivity of the machine. So, we say... I say, Ivan, I think your hair looks really ugly tonight. And he gets depressed,
mm-hmm.
and it ruins his whole day.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A reaction of the emotions of the machine. It's a mechanical reactivity. So by inner, I mean, take a moment, like right now, Susan and everybody, take a moment and just reflect. How do you How do you feel inside? This is a feeling. We're calling it a feeling, not a mechanical emotion. What does it feel like to be in this space of self-remember and listening to my words babble on here? And do you sense the group beginning to form?
Yeah, it's a very calm, safe space.
So start from there. Become our touchstone, okay?
Okay.
Now, from that point, glance around. What do you see? What do you hear? What does it feel like from there for you? Not what should you feel, but what does it, where are you? What is it, what does your sensing tell you at this moment?
Me specifically, or not?
Let's just let that one sit for a moment, okay?
So we do have a.
But what I would like is to reemphasize that one little paragraph: make the inner as the outer, and the outer as the inner, then make the two one. I would like people to respond, but not necessarily in the log, but either by email or posting on the website. That's something that there's a bit of a challenge for you to do that, to put into words the sense that you feel when you read that paragraph, that little phraseology. As Ivan said, it's critical to the flip that we're talking about and that we will get into toward the end of the this experiment coming up. Okay?
We do have a comment.
Go ahead.
From Hawk Lady.
Good.
So when we are in the moment, alive, feeling the energy of what is in the outer, then you are aware of the energy outside and how you feel all at the same time.
Yeah, but your emphasis is, what's the first phrase that she used?
So when we are in the moment, alive, feeling the energy of
okay,
what
so,
is out there.
So she starts with when you're alive, by which I mean when you're attentive, you're in the state called self-remembering. You're remembering yourself. You are acquiescing. We're acquiescing to the inner. And when we acquiesce on that point, then we look around, and then you can truly sense the energetics around you. I remember situations specifically going to places with an individual, and you walk into the space, and it was just like, it's the wrong place to be in. There's nothing externally that said that. It was the tone that, because we were centered, we can understand, we now need to go elsewhere. That comes because she could center herself. She was in the moment. That means she was in the moment. She was in the moment. See, she was able to get herself into the moment. When you're in the external, you're never in the moment.
I think also what you're saying, David, is that the state of
mm-hmm.
awareness, let's say the atmosphere of the chamber that you're in, is not coming from outside, it's coming from inside.
Your
so,
beacon is from the inside.
Well, you're saying if you're not creating, if you're projecting or, let's
emanating.
Say, expanding, yeah, emanating an atmosphere from your internal state, then you come up against something that's, this is really jangling. Everything is very mechanical here. Or, you know, there are the wrong colors. There are sounds. There are signs that don't suit that at all.
Correct.
Then you turn around and you say, this is not it. This is not where I'm.
And
this is going to, you actually feel, this is going to reverse the emanation. This is going to crush it or cut it short.
There we go.
Then you walk out of it. You say, we're going to find someplace else. You're going to go where the signposts are more, the signposts suit the inner, right?
So you have a different guide suddenly. You're not, the guide isn't the external, but the guide becomes the internal. And we're going to see an incredible example of that later in the evening.
You know, could we, is it worth inquiring into this paragraph that we're just passing by here? I'm thinking that...
And we also have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
Jim H. says, essence changes places with the machine as the active agent.
Yes. Good.
I didn't get that.
Did you get that?
Say it again. It wasn't clear on the recording, but I heard it. Go ahead.
Okay. Essence changes place with the machine as the active agent.
Essence?
As the active agent.
The essence changes places with the machine as the active agent. You become something different at that point. You settle into a different life. And you become that different life.
You know, I was just wondering, I was just thinking that maybe Silverdale or some others might have comments on the results of organic foods. I'm thinking, okay, I was having trouble with this question. The results of organic foods is energy in some form, right?
Yes.
The results of organic foods is energy. And saying that they don't ordinarily pass beyond the first octave is saying that it's just feeding mechanicality.
That's correct.
Going through the biological motions.
As we discussed earlier in the chapter.
Yeah, and reducing the energy to something of a lower, you know, just shit, basically.
And
so
for purposes of this paragraph, it's called something called the moon.
It's feeding the moon, yeah.
Yeah, which we don't need to go off on that particularly.
Yeah, only pass beyond the first octave. To reverse this reciprocal process of feeding, one must feed the inner world with the direct results of results coming to the machine from the outer world. So if the results of the organic foods is energy, what are the results of the energy? What are the results of the results? Is that the results of the energy put out into the world? Well, I understand that from sort of the teaching that we've been pursuing, let's say, for years here. But just this, is that what the phrase the direct results of results means?
Hey, Ivan.
Yeah, what do you say?
You know, I'll just remind you that I think a lot of EJ's material is an addition to the Gurdjieff teaching. So what Gurdjieff indicates is that we are actually fed by three different types of food. I'm probably only reminding you of what you already know, but the first type of food is, of course, the physical food and drink that we nourish our physical body with, and it can only evolve up to a particular point on an octave, at which time it must be supplemented by a second type of food, the air that we breathe. And even that air that we breathe can only evolve up to a certain place in the octave until it itself is supplemented by impressions, which I think is what these words results of results refers to.
As Dan said, yeah.
And
good.
And that air that we breathe is comprised of a number of components. When we live an ordinary, unconscious life, we're utilizing half of those components, we'll say. But if we strive to become awake and conscious, then we actually use the other half of the components in each breath of air. So we're trying to, and that helps the food octave evolve and prepares us to receive the impressions or the results of the results coming from the outside.
Dan.
In Gurdjieff's diagram of how food is processed into finer material, part of it is taking an external food and impressions.
Yes.
And that may be what he's talking about.
Let's move on
mm-hmm.
with that
right.
brief outline that Silverdale and Dan and Ivan have given us. Let's just move on. But hold that. Those are great questions, but I want to go through this. And then the next paragraph is one sentence, but it's...
And
but
then there are comments I can come back to.
Let's come back to them, okay?
Okay.
Okay. How is this possible when some mysterious creature existing parasitically within the machine, inaccessible even to one's vision, continually sucks blood by isolating the two consciousnesses? It's huge. That is the consciousness of this machine in sleep, the regular historical personality, and the consciousness of the being, which is neither asleep nor awake, but which is the source of the attention in all its forms. Even that attention which attaches itself to the machine and follows its sleep to the process called identification. So we start to believe that there can never be a harmony between these two worlds. But only coming in a certain way can we achieve that harmony. Thus, back to that phraseology at top of page 91.
Make the two one.
Make the two one. Only through struggle with ourselves can we become able to arouse in ourselves the will to awaken the machine and apply the force and activities of the machine towards the transformational process, also towards the work. But nothing can be accomplished through ordinary struggle with the organic world. It's like, what an opportunity we've been given here, Ivan, Dan. We've been given, it's like, here we are, we have these machines and we have an essential self, and it's like, and we have a way of self-awakening, because it's called only if you struggle with ourselves, right?
Yes. Through struggles with these habits, with these
whatever
mechanisms,
it is,
with
whatever
these
you may find.
And,
but you
yeah.
have the laboratory right here. You have the laboratory. For the biological machine to become passive does not mean that it ceases moving centrum activity as in seated meditation. And I had a long conversation with somebody about that, too.
It's phenomenally important.
To make the moving centrum passive, one must lose the fixation, by which I mean the result of the seduction, which with the visions, which include mental, emotional, physical ideas, feelings, and sensations of the phenomenal world, without losing interest in the visions of the phenomenal world. It just is no longer the master. That's the point.
Yeah, well, the key word in there is the fixation.
That's everything.
The fixation.
With fixation.
Yeah.
We have a fixation on, let's just say, the skill of our physical being or the beauty of our mentation. And we're so caught up in it that... We're fixated by it. All phenomena is illusion. There's not a... That's just the facts, Jack.
Even
the dinner you just ate,
yes, right.
Which we won't comment on. However, that... Now, so the question is, how do you struggle with yourself? And everybody goes, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. I know what that means. I have troubles all day long. I have trouble. I get on the freeway. I have troubles. I go to the store and the people don't pay attention to me the way I should be. I have struggles all day long. Is that what they mean by struggle?
I think there's just so many what do you call it, foundational ideas in here. Nothing can be accomplished through ordinary struggle with the organic world.
Oh.
So for this work, there's your, what do you call it, negative definition. You know, like, oh, I drove all the way to work today and I avoided getting into an auto accident. Isn't that really enlightened? No, that's not enlightened. That's survival.
That's barely anything.
Yeah.
So you mean the
like,
struggle I had with the retail clerk at the store who didn't understand who I was?
Yeah, well, you know, this is, or it's like what EJ said elsewhere. you know, if, like, you know, parachute jumping, you know, from 10,000 feet out of planes made people enlightened, there'd be a lot more enlightened people around.
That's right.
You know, or climbing Everest, you know, like winning the Indianapolis 500.
I hate,
you know,
to be
it's not going to make you enlightened, because why aren't there more enlightened race car drivers?
But that's who we bow down to, are those champions.
Anyway.
And I'm going to bring up, this is going to be a broken record, finally, for once again, but I'm going to say it anyway, the ending of Spinoza's Ethics.
Uh-oh.
Book 5 of the Ethics is,
yeah,
all things difficult, all things excellent are as difficult as they are rare.
Yes, sure.
All things excellent. And this is the most excellent. And he talks about, he uses the word salvation. If salvation were at hand, then everybody was easily at hand, everybody would be enlightened. But it is not the case.
Right.
It's a rare thing. And this is rare, so let us pay the price called difficult and inner struggle. So since we don't really know what it means to struggle, I've got an example.
Okay.
I've come prepared.
All right, good. I'm glad somebody's prepared.
Okay, this is written with a great effort by Harry Pianjo. I'll just read it. There's two sections to it.
Is this on the website, David?
It's on the website.
Okay.
I posted it on. There was a little hiccup on the site, but it's now available for posting.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read exactly what he wrote. David has requested that we choose a mechanical habit and present it to the group. Excuse me. And present it to the group mind to experience what then happens. It is sure nice to have a good supply to choose from, so I will pick one that has caused me some concern. This is Harry speaking. So, when I listen to my call notes for incoming phone messages, if the caller leaves a message that is emotionally charged or requires action on my part, I frequently hang up immediately and begin doing something else, only to then catch myself and realize there were other messages after that one waiting in queue. I often do this impulsively, with no attention remaining on listening to all my calls. I then start thinking about the Voyager's quatrain, how sudden and unconscious my movements were, and resolve to be more mindful in the future, which I usually am not. It is my wish that the group vibe can help zap this tendency into a voluntary choice where it can work for me for a change. So, now Susan, I'm hoping that, so does that make sense? Do you get what happened, how this works for him and the mechanicality of it?
Do I get it?
I also got that he's invoking a greater energy.
Okay.
He's invoking a greater power than his own willpower to the effort of changing that.
And let me put this in context. The goal here is not to fix a mistake,
right,
that he's...
Right.
Got right, Susan?
Right, just to observe it, I think, is the cool part.
So, right now, go ahead.
Well, just to notice him doing it repeatedly and unconsciously.
And he'll do it again tomorrow,
right,
when some
he
crank...
He is on the phone.
Is?
He is, he said.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, greetings, Harry.
Thank you.
And you know, and you'll do it again tomorrow when some crackpot calls in.
So.
And, you know, he's going to call in and he's just going to blah, 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 whining, complaining. And you'll just hit the stop button and hang up and go tend to the sheep or whatever you're going to do, you know. So when people hear that, so this is actually what happens with him, happens to him yesterday, it's going to happen tomorrow. What do you see? What impressions do you have? Anybody? Dan.
You mean impressions by watching the automatic behavior?
What impressions do we have of it?
Yeah, what do you think about seeing Harry now is, in a sense, putting this before the group? He's noticed that his machine does that. Just an automatic reaction.
Right.
This one event occurs, somebody calls and leaves a particular type of message, and he does this. What are your thoughts? What's happening?
He had a button that told him, now's when you do this, now's when you help the person. Or we have so many buttons. And then once you press that button, it's time to do...
Oh, blank. Susan, don't let him off the hook that easy.
What were you going to say, Dan?
What button is it that gets pushed in Dear Harry?
Probably the helper button. Then he
Wait a minute. The helper button, the guy, someone's screaming on the phone for help, and he hangs up on him.
Oh, I got the point, and correct me if I'm wrong, Harry, that you heard the message and then you went straight to helping the person.
No.
No, that is that correct?
Yeah, I get a message and somebody says, oh, something dramatic has happened, and then I immediately forget about my intention to check all my messages and go check it, when in fact they may have called back later and told me there was nothing to it, but I didn't hang around long enough to figure that out.
He went to go fix it right away.
Now,
yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you saying that you called the person that has the anxiety, or you just hang up on the phone?
I'm checking my call notes, my recordings of all my messages, and one says this, and I say, oh, my God, I've got to do something about this, and I just hang it. I punch the button on the phone to turn it off and start doing something.
When you say you start doing something, what is it you start doing?
Well, it depends upon what it is. If it's a client that's depressed or a patient that's been referred to me that's depressed, I'll call their psychiatrist, or I'll call the hospital. Or
oh, I see. So you just stop what you're doing and immediately call. You start to fix the problem.
Susan nailed it. I try
okay.
to fix it.
Good.
Hey, David thought that you just got off the phone and went and immediately mixed the whiskey and salad.
Oh, no, I'm... that's later.
That's later. After I actually connected with him.
Well, I'm only on my call notes, and I don't hang up on people, but I do up on the machine. You know, when it says here are your messages, and somebody says something, and then I just lose sight of everything else, and then I say, my goodness, I never did check all my other messages, and when I reach this person, they say, oh, I called you back to say nothing. It was nothing, and we solved it.
So what's going on there, Susan hits it and she says, it touched a button. What button, Dan? That. Just talk.
Just don't
think. Yeah.
Just spurred into action. And focus them on that one thing. And
the fixer.
What? The fixer?
He's the fixer.
Yeah, well, I think what Harry is saying also is that he has an intention, right? He sets an intention to carry out this professional responsibility, which is to listen to all the messages, you know, and then it's actually quite reactive to just jump on and act from the first message.
So
yes,
he hears
that's exactly what I do.
He hears a little anxiety in the voice, and he just goes, "Oh gosh, I'm gonna do something about that right now."
Right.
Are there any other comments on the log, Susan?
There are. It depends on how far you want to go back.
Just on this point.
Let me see.
Jim has a good comment.
Go ahead.
Notice the trigger. Can you notice earlier in the cycle when it happens? And that I haven't tried to do that, but I will.
Okay. So this is a great point, Jim. When you observe and you place your attention, in a sense, on the state of your machine, when you click the button to start listening to the messages, actually even before that, there's a trigger starting.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing a matrix to that event. So you push the button to start listening to the machines. As you walk into it, you're going to notice there's a whole mental and emotional and probably physical spectrum that comes about. Your body's going to start changing in a certain way. So what's another way? How would you approach it, Ivan? Let's say it was your clients, and suddenly you've got 40 years of training.
Well, I don't know if I'm a good person to answer this. I'd get a new bunch of clients.
You'd get a new bunch of clients. I would just, if they have problems, he's going to get rid of them.
Yeah.
He just wants them easy, and they pay.
Yeah, just tell them, don't leave me these emotional.
Harry, I have a question.
Go ahead, Susan.
So, Harry, you do then, within a few minutes, go ahead and check your messages and wake up, so to speak.
Usually after the fact, and then I'm saying, what did I come here to do? Oh, I just took off and I didn't check the rest of my messages, and I have to go back and do this. And this happens to me several times a week.
Yeah.
And I notice it, and I say, this is an act of unmindfulness, and so I resolve not to do it, but I do it again the next time I hear something. If it's my granddaughter that's sick, I say, oh, my gosh, I've got to go see how she's doing, and I forget everything else, even though it wouldn't take another 5 minutes to check all my messages. And it's just, I assign the meaning to that I'm just too asleep.
Yeah, I think this is a great habit, a great fidget to look at, because that is, it repeats. It's going to repeat like that all the time. It's something you have to do for your ordinary business. And and like you said, it has to do with mindfulness. I mean, I think this is it reminds me of any kind of intention that I would set. Like every time I go through a doorway, I'm going to remember to repeat such and such. Or, when I first get up in the morning, I'm going to do this exercise. And then, one of the first things that I learned from any of these remembering exercises, that came from EJ's teaching, is that I had to remember to do the thing every day. I'd go, like halfway through the week, I'd think, oh, I haven't remembered for the last 3 or 4 days to do the remembering that I was going to remember to remember to do.
I forgot to remember myself.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, we're like David was saying, I'm so busy, I can't. I can't remember to remember myself. But yeah, it seems to me that the only way that you're going to affect this at all is to be, is to inject like another habit, or like to take a deep breath.
Keep going.
Yeah, you take a deep breath. You say, well, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to observe myself, starting before I play these messages back. I'm going to invoke this other energy or this other, try to be more centered or more essential as I do this action. I mean, this is getting into what, Harry, this is touching on what I'm thinking of doing with this exercise, which is to have a practice, to try to establish a practice that goes along with these assignments, let's say, with this work and the hidden work, and actually remember to do it and get into a state that's not so habitual. in order to do it.
I think that will help me.
The point is that it's not that, oh, you know, Harry's off the hook because, you know, what he does is somebody asks for help and he gives help. I mean, what a better thing than that, right?
Well, I think that's like getting to work on time in a sense, you know, in a certain way. I mean,
But what Harry, the reason he shared this in front of the group is not because he helps, because he knows he does that, but because it's the mechanicality that occurs when he is in this matrix that he's talking about, he's sharing mm-hmm. with us. This is an act of what I call high confession. He is sharing, this is how that machine works. That machine particularly works in that way. Mm-hmm. He will find that he observes this when he goes into the house and he's preparing to go listen to those messages. Did you feel that? When he goes to listen to the messages, there's already forming in him the mechanical matrix upon which he is about to enter into and to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll play out exactly in the same way because it's programmed to go into that way. Because the behavior says, oh, I'm supposed to help immediately. And because there's an emotional context to this as well. There's an emotional fabric to it. And there's the interesting thing, really an easy way to sneak up on this, Harry, is to look at your physical manifestations as you approach the phone. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
You physically, you're going to watch yourself transform, and there'll be certain muscular tensions that will start to inhabit the machine. And there'll be specific places in your musculature, your neck, possibly, that you're going to get ready to approach this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you touch the button, and it happens or it doesn't happen. Because if you can avail yourself of the astral body, and if you're approaching this task as a voyager, and the voyager comes forth and looks at this and just accepts whatever is laid before them. Because how do you know that the next call, the next message, wasn't a true
emergency?
True emergency that truly needed immediate action. You don't know that. So that's a manner in which to approach it. Now this act of confession in front of this group, the group now is engaged in this. And I don't know if anybody else has made a comment online, Susan.
There are.
On this topic?
Let me see what...
On Harry's point?
But on Harry's, I was going to say, I mean, I picked something in myself that, like, I observed the way that my body moved. And so it wasn't something that could potentially affect anyone else. And so with Harry and the phone call, it seems like that could affect somebody else.
He's in his own world in that mechanicality. We think that just because he then suddenly goes off to help somebody, maybe there's an external notation that, oh, that's a good thing.
So, and there's some questions on why should he listen to the messages in one way or another, a few things like that. And then there's a question asking, so what is Harry's first guess to why he does it?
Who's asking the question?
Hawk Lady.
Hawk Lady.
So Hawk Lady is asking Harry, why do you think you do this?
That's a good question. I don't really have a ready answer. I have to think about that.
I think at this point, and maybe
I kind of prioritize things according to machine tensions, I guess.
Go ahead. I was going to say that I'm not quite sure that's the correct question for our work, you know,
right.
Because the issue is it qualifies if it's a habit. If it's a repetitive behavior,
that's it.
It's a habit. And so
it qualifies.
The question we're asking is not why do I have this habit? You know, because we can say, this is my machine, I have this habit. So what you're wanting to do now is enter into the observation of the habit, the self-observation, without changing the habit. You know, we're not talking about changing it by direct force, by main force.
That's
exactly
what is missing from me, and I say, well, I was completely asleep whenever I went out to do this response
of
help
there.
That I wanted to give. How can I help
there you go.
And
see, there's the issue. If it spawned in sleep, it will unravel in sleep as well.
Exactly.
So,
well, and also, it's really great. These, you know, it's not so easy to get at some of this teaching. You know, it's like, it's stunning to me, you know, like how many times EJ has repeated some of these ideas and in how many different ways with, you know, different twists and some slightly different vocabulary. Be fourth way, might not be fourth way, might be this, might be that. But, you know, this is the issue he's always telling us is the identification, or in this last passage, the fixation.
Fixation.
So, you know, so this is like, it strikes me, if I can carry out that behavior, if I'm Harry, if I keep doing my answering machine and I see sometimes I do this impulsive thing and sometimes I don't, and maybe sometimes the messages aren't so emotional and so on and so on, but
right.
by disidentifying, by establishing this kind of fair witness, right, by coming into it from a different place, this is going to, that strikes me as exactly a way of bringing the biological machine together with the astral, which is to say with the
That's
essential
right.
self persona, the essential self awareness. Because look what you're doing is you're having the biological kind of repeated habit, fidget, you do this all the time, you keep on doing it, but now instead of just riding with it and saying, oh my God, I'm so frustrated because I did the same thing as I did last week, you're observing yourself. You're having Harry of another persona, Harry from another place, watching this.
So
yeah.
We're going to, for the moment, we're going to leave that as it is, okay? We're going to leave it just in its case right now.
Yeah.
We've brought our minds to it,
yeah.
And Harry is capable of it, of observing what's going to happen next in him about this. We have now put a lot of attention on that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone.
As a group.
And something will occur that is on the other side of the veil. That will occur. That's not. I'm not trying to be magical or mysterious or anything weird like that. But something alchemical will occur, and we'll hear from Harry over the next couple of weeks. Now, I'm running into a little bit of a problem here, because normally we go for 1 hour, but there's a second part of this that I think is important to get into tonight.
All right.
But it'll take us about another 15, maybe even as much as 20 minutes. And I'm wondering, is it okay for us to continue? Is it okay for you guys to spend another 15 minutes or so?
I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Molly, are you okay with that?
You want to ask people online?
May. Susan, are you okay with another little while?
Yeah, or Pastor will say okay.
Good. Okay. Harry, you still okay?
Yes, sir.
Becky,
Silverdale?
Absolutely.
Becky and Aldesim.
They're okay with
They're
continuing?
Okay.
Okay. This is the other side of the same issue. What do I mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
As I've been asked, I'll answer. Okay. Because on the one hand, we're talking about mechanicality of the machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Harry gave us a wonderful example. Each of us have examples precisely like that, by the way. I don't care if it's something as simple as, oh, I always fidget and cross my legs when I sit down, or I crack my knuckle, or whatever it is, I grab my mustache. Whatever it is, it's connected with 50 things. There's a physical, emotional, and mental picture on each one of those things. And our job is to penetrate it with our attention, because we have an attention to do that with. We can penetrate it. So the other side of that is what? The other side of it is that suddenly now, from time to time, I don't know if Aria is online, but she'll understand.
Yes, she is.
She's online. Okay, good. That from time to time, suddenly the balance flips. Mostly we're in the mechanical world, but sometimes, kind of accidentally, it flips. And we wind up being more in the essential.
Essential, yeah.
And it's just like, how'd that happen? Wrong question, by the way.
How did it happen?
So, let's see what we can discover about this. Harry continues, there are also more victorious moments that can be shared, and as hearing about such experience has been helpful to me, it is my hope that this one that happened just last week will be edifying to some of you as well. I want to share this one while it is still fresh. And then Harry continues, I have been doing a lot of family and financial planning of late, as my 70th birthday is next month, and last week found me in a big room with two expensive lawyers and one accountant, gathering to rewrite my last will and testament. As a therapist, my idea of hell has been to be placed in a room without windows and forced to do accounting work. And here I was doing just that, and paying for it to boot.
Right.
Normally, the biological machine under such conditions would be running lots of conflicting programs, mostly involving lamentations of, sure wish I were somewhere else, and this situation started off the same way. However, listen carefully now. However, the work we have been doing for the past few years has taken on a momentum of its own. And this began to creep into my awareness. Then, in a single instance, everything slowed down, became brightly diaphanous, and began emitting a sparkling light, particularly the people. Is Simon online? Simon, listen. Began emitting a sparkling light, particularly the people. I became fully present and awake, and as if immersed in something alive, with every item I then gave away to the beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries, I felt lighter and lighter, until I felt as if I were floating. I realized that I truly did not need all this stuff after all, so why wait until later to give it away? The three gentlemen stopped talking and were looking at me. I'm going to repeat that. The three gentlemen stopped talking and were looking at me. After a few heartbeat beats, someone in me blurted out, I never knew this business of dying could be such fun.
That's a great statement.
After a short but pregnant pause, everyone broke out laughing, with the lead lawyer saying that he had never heard anyone say this before,
right,
but hope for it more of it in the future. So I invited him to lunch. I guess my point is that you never know when a change is going to happen, and that doing this sometimes dry and difficult work does in fact kill the soil of possibility, where something new can grow, even where you least expect it, maybe especially there.
That's outstanding. Yeah, that's very good, Harry. That's really an outstanding story.
So what happened, Aria? Here he is sitting in his own dreamed up hell, right? Mm-hmm. The worst of worst. And he was paying several hundred dollars an hour to for the choice.
Yes, right.
What happened? Banned.
Certainly it flipped as you were using that.
Correct.
To, what do you call it, that description of it, you know, he flipped into a different atmosphere, a different attitude.
But it occurred to me earlier, in his earlier description of the phone, is that he was being triggered emotionally from the outside.
Good.
Saying that the astral body is the emotional body, that their emotions are connected. So, the idea of making the astral body active is that you're no longer triggered from it.
Correct. Well put.
Mm-hmm.
Well put.
Yeah, well, this is clearly a great example of, that the inner as the outer. I mean, for those individuals in the room, Harry made his inner as the outer, and he influenced the whole atmosphere. He influenced them psychically, because this guy's response was, well, nobody's ever broken out with this idea before. Nobody's ever made a statement like that. So that was coming from Harry's inner. And
so he had not said anything yet. He had not said anything yet.
Well, he stopped them with just his state, I believe.
Ah.
His state affected
them.
The
three gentlemen stopped talking and were looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they see? Here's these guys, they make money by talking. What happened? Lemay? Molly? What happened? Go ahead, Susan. What are the comments?
Becky says, where you least expect it, so true. Jim H. says, works like magic.
What works like magic, Jim H.?
Aria said... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. I'm waiting for the next one.
Okay, Aria said, what happened? He moved from his identification and moved into essence.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Boom. Home run hitter. But wait a minute. You didn't answer my question. Why did those three gentlemen charging $4.50 an hour stop talking? He hadn't said anything yet.
They felt the change.
There's a, right.
She got it.
There you go. Yeah.
So
it was nonverbal what happened.
His emanation, because he was in that state of the essential self, his emanation was such that even they noticed it. They noticed it, and it stopped what was going on. And in the pause, and this is important, in the pause, in the moment between, and Jim H. knows this too, in the transit, okay. We haven't nearly talked enough about the moments of transit. Harry was in mechanicality, sitting there grimly, watching this thing unfold, this last will and testament and these guys, and they're talking about this and the beneficiaries and contingents and da-da-da. And then suddenly he acquiesced to something in himself. And when that flipped, it filled the room.
I think it was apparent.
When he filled the room, as Aria said, he was in his essential self. They had a chance to do something, to be different, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And because Go ahead.
More comments.
Okay, hang on. They had a chance to be different. In that moment of being different, a creativity came out because the essential self operates in chaos. Its friend is the void, is the chaotic unknowing, the springing forth of creation. And at that moment, something new is created. That fellow, they will never forget that moment. They may forget the details, but there's something left in them. So his work of getting himself to that place has left a mark that will spread from them as well. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, so Becky says he let something come into him, and it seems like it was his real self.
Okay.
Hawk Lady says it was important enough for him to wake up.
Okay.
Aria says the events or shock was such that it pushed him into his essence and woke him up. His essence was shining, and he was seeing their sparkling essences, and they saw his essence. Jim H. says, Harry, do you know what you did to change state? The question.
Okay, I'm going to... Maybe there's an answer to that. Maybe there's a mechanical or a mental answer to that. But there's another side to it. Harry is indicating that it's his cumulative work that just kind of overcame the situation. There's not a linear thing that says, if A, then B, and that occurs. No, it's like Harry at that time was more in his essential self because he's done a lot of work. So it's the cumulative weight of that inner self and that higher dimensional self just is gaining weight. And I know that there was a very similar experience that somebody had going back to meeting with old friends. And suddenly they were in that space. Well, the suddenly means that they've been working for 5 to 8 years to dig out their essential self. And it comes out. And when it comes out, our job is to notice that it's come out. Our job is to notice that it's come out and then to work with it. And Harry was able to do that. Okay? Let's not try to get caught in the thing, if I do this, then I'll be in my essential self more. It's the continual effort that we are putting in to, as it says at the very end of this chapter, Ivan, it says, if we just struggle with our inner struggle with ourselves.
Struggle with ourselves. Yeah, and it's a struggle against, fixations.
It's a struggle against fixation
there.
That... And so it's cumulative. It's cumulative. And it just got so much bigger in him that it happened to come out at that time. It happened to come out, and it painted a picture, a lovely picture, and those three individuals got to partake in it. My superstitious belief is that those three individuals went home with a little chunk of essence, Harry, and this is also specifically to you because you can visualize this because you saw those three individuals. They went home with a little chunk of essence that they didn't have before, and they passed that on either to their, if they have a family, to their wife, and to their children. They got a little teeny speck of it that they didn't have before. Make sense?
Sure.
Thank you, Dave. I hadn't thought of it being passed on.
That's our work. That's part of our work here. We are given this holy example, I mean, this holy opportunity of transforming ourselves. And we have the keys and the know how to do it. And the question is Do you not believe that that is there for you as well? Do you not believe that that angelic ascension is there for you too? I believe it is there. I know it's there. And I know it's there for, I think, just about everybody I've talked to who's on the phone now. I know it's there. So let's accept that and see what we can do with it.
Very good.
Okay. How are we doing, Susan?
We're doing good.
Thank you. And thank you for being in this lot of effort tonight. I know it wasn't easy.
Oh, yeah. And there's, yeah, a lot more comments. So I would suggest people read the log because there was more in there.
Okay. And we'll put
Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate your help.
Thank you so much, Harry, for your sharing. And by the way, I did post that on the Wings of Chaos chapter, Hidden Work Chapter 9. Next week, we're going to move on, and we're going to go to Chapter 10, the lightning rod function. And Dan, do you think we'll be able to get to that through that in 1 week? Well, if you're wondering about it, the answer is probably no.
It's a long chapter.
Not only is it a long chapter, it's a very, it's going to tie right into what we're talking about, and we'll see you then. So thanks for spending a little bit extra time this evening, and we'll meet again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks, good David night. And Ivan, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
Good night, George.
Good night,
George. Bye-bye.